Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Serving the great state of Montana from the peaks.
Hey, you're listening to a best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yet another crazy ruling, another laughable, frankly, ruling out of the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. I mean, we've just gotten a black eye as a state here. Several times here in recent weeks and in recent months. One came here just a week before Christmas. The left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court came out with their ruling in the Held v. Montana case, which is the Climate Kids lawsuit. Anyway, we're going to talk about that and much more. Rob Nadelson, a former University of Montana constitutional law professor, who is now a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute. He's going to be with us here in this 8 o'clock hour of the show. Rob, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for freeing up some time with us.
It's terrific to be back with you, and as always, Aaron, it's wonderful to talk to a Montana audience.
Big picture, when it comes to the Montana Supreme Court, I think you've already documented this. Before we get into some of these specific rulings that have come out here of late, this is one of the worst, if not the worst, courts in the entire country, just by the numbers, just by the data alone.
It is so embarrassing, Aaron. I coined the phrase America's worst court a few years ago, and other people around the country, as they learn more about the Montana Supreme Court, are describing it with exactly that phrase. It is an embarrassment to Montana, and Montanans have to do something about it.
When this Climate Kids lawsuit ruling got announced earlier this week, there were national conservative commentators and accounts on X, like I think Libs of TikTok and a few others, who were saying, Montana, you've got a problem. And what else do we say other than, yes, we do?
Yes, we do. And the other thing we say is that the coming legislative session is going to try to address that problem. And it's incumbent on all Montanans to give them the support they need. Because, as you know, they're going to be hit from all sides by left-wing interest groups, by left-wing media. They're going to be caricatured, painted as evil, when all they're trying to do is to restore popular government, Republican or Democratic government to Montana.
Well, I'll tell you what, this story caught me. At the moment this article was posted, it caught my eye. Here's the headline: The Lesson from Montana. Stop judicial usurpation before it becomes too late. And it is authored by none other than Rob Nadelson, our guest this hour of the show. He says this: from time to time, I've told the story of how the left-leaning activists on the Montana Supreme Court exercise oligarchical control over the people of the state. And he's got an example here, here, and here. We're going to talk about this new column and those examples and much more with Rob Nadelson. Stand by. Quick break here on Montana Talks. If you want to jump in on the conversation, give us a few minutes to get the show up and rolling, and then we'll start taking your phone calls. You can also send us a message with a quick question or a comment on the Montana Talks app as well. And then next hour, we got another big lineup for you as well.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's a push by some outside advocacy groups to grow the size of Congress. In theory, that would make the institution more small d, democratic. The Constitution doesn't mandate the size of the House, and until the early 1900s, its membership increased regularly as the country's population grew. That stopped when a freeze was put in place in 1929. Though debates about proportional representation and congressional capacity remain. There's a push by one group to actually grow the House by an extra 150 representatives. House members currently currently represent about 750,000 people, sometimes more, sometimes less. In early 2023, Democratic Illinois Representative Sean Casten introduced a bill to add around 38 new members of the House. Around the same time, Democratic Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer prepped a bill to lift the artificial cap on House members. That bill would have increased the number of House seats to 585. There was muted response to both bills. President George Washington set a target of 30,000 people per representative. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We are going to take you into January of 2025 with some great content, great guests, great hosts, and of course, your phone calls. David Noble will be in the house. Scott Aspenlighter in the house as well. So stay tuned to Montana Talks right here on your favorite radio station on through 2024, right into 2025 with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, 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 careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this column by Rob Nadelson the other day, but I thought, no, you know what's better than me talking about Rob Nadelson's column? Having Rob Nadelson on the radio talking about it himself. So it's great to have Rob Nadelson here. Rob, you know, when it comes to our Montana Supreme Court and a number of our district court judges, for example, as well, I think, you know, my reaction to some of these absurd rulings they've had here just in the last 2 weeks alone is keep poking the people of Montana in the eye. Keep it up, Montana Supreme Court, because the more you poke the people in the eye, I hope the more the people finally wake up and bring about some change on our Montana Supreme Court. So that's my hope, is that the more absurd these Montana Supreme Court rulings get, like a couple announced in the last 2 weeks alone, is the more it wakes up the people of Montana. Whether it's the Held case or this recent transgender ruling, where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, people should know how absurd these rulings are. For example, in the Held case, one of the reasons the court gave for giving standing to the 16 children was that they were afraid because the glaciers in Glacier National Park were receding. Well, I'm afraid of a whole lot of things the left is imposing upon us. Does that mean I can go to court to get the legislature to reverse all of them? The answer, obviously, is not. The principal point of my column was that Montanans have had a long time seeing this coming. This kind of nonsense has been going on in one form or another for about 40 years. And it accelerated after 1999. 1999 is kind of the hub year in which the court came out with three truly outrageous decisions that it has continued to expand over the years. After the first of those decisions was issued, I was all over the state, including on Billings Radio and statewide radio, talking about the fact that Montanans had better do something or the situation was going to get worse. And as I say in the column, unfortunately, while some people were concerned, for the most part, I was greeted with a collective yawn. Well, you know, as has happened, unfortunately, the situation has gotten worse and worse and worse. And as you just said, Aaron, the decisions have gotten more and more ridiculous. Finally, 25 years later, people are waking up. The legislature, specifically the Senate, has impaneled a special committee to address the issue. There will be bills in the next legislature to address the issue. It's important that we give the legislators the support they need because, as I said in the intro, we're going to be slammed from all sides once the legislative session gets started.
Oh, yeah, they are. I mean, there's even more fake news media that's going to be at the Montana legislature in the coming legislative session than probably ever before. And I don't like to do predictions a lot, but that's one prediction I will make. You're going to see all these fake news so-called media outlets that are really Democrat Party funded super PAC operations, but they're going to be doing everything they can to prop up the Democrats and bash the Republicans and batter down the moderates to try to get them to vote for the Democrats.
And Aaron, it's not exactly, I wouldn't say it's exactly Democrat. It's more that they're statist. You know, I mean, they're always in favor of more power being lodged in the state and the left-wing agenda. And for the most part, the Democratic Party lines up with that.
Great point.
What the media are really doing is they're serving state or bureaucratic government interests. And we have to understand that when we read their stories.
So let's start with the transgender case. So Senate Bill 99 had a great phone call from State Senator John Fuller out of Kalispell the other day. This is a bill that basically would say, hey, look, we're going to protect kids from these radical transgender surgeries and other procedures. You know, the same day that the Montana Supreme Court announced their ruling, where they basically held in place a block against SB 99 to protect kids, the United Kingdom banned puberty blockers for kids because of the harm that puberty blockers caused. And even though the UK is moving away from this crazy stuff, the Montana Supreme Court wants to double down.
Yeah, the Montana Supreme Court's fundamental problem, I think, well, there are two fundamental problems. One is that many of the judges are not particularly competent. If you read their decisions, you'll find all kinds of contradictions and oddities in there that just don't make any sense. Let me give you a good example out of the transgender case. They based their decision ultimately on one of these 1999 horrible cases that I call the toxic trio, and which is known generally as the Armstrong case. The Armstrong case said that the legislature could not restrict abortion because abortion was a lawful health procedure. Well, the only reason it was a lawful health procedure was because at that time Roe versus Wade was still in effect, and the U.S. Supreme Court had declared it to be a lawful procedure. Well, now, of course, it's no longer considered by the U.S. Supreme Court a constitutional right, never really was. And so it's interesting to see how the court tries to squirm in the transgender case in order to justify what it's doing. Beth Baker's opinion for the majority says, well, these kinds of puberty blockers and mutilation, it's lawful for other people, and therefore it's a lawful procedure, which somehow makes it lawful even in areas where it's not lawful. And then Justice Rice, in a concurrence, by the way, some people think of Justice Rice as a conservative. No way.
Unfortunately.
That he says that the legislature can't ban accepted procedures. Well, accepted by whom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the court mentions something, an outfit called the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. It's an outfit located in East Dundee, Illinois. And my question was, who the heck elected a group based in East Dundee, Illinois, to govern Montana?
That is a great question. Hold it right there. Another quick break here.
We'll be back with more of Montana Talks after these messages.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are at least three issues ahead for healthcare in Montana. The first is cost growth overall. After an interruption during COVID, when we all stopped going to see the doctor, the familiar pattern of healthcare prices going up faster than everything else has reemerged. That will affect everything from insurance premiums to government budgets. Then there's a renewal of the federally funded expansion of Medicaid to adults earning up to 138% of the poverty line, which expires this year. Opinions are strong on this issue, but let me share with you two relevant pieces of information. Montana has already shed 12% of its Medicaid enrollees since 2020, the most of any state in the country. The second is that Medicaid reimbursements to providers, meager as they may be, help keep rural health care viable. It's been estimated that half of rural hospitals lost money in 2024 nationally. Perhaps Medicaid expansion isn't the best way to address this, but do we want to make it worse? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. The building that housed the Morrison Hotel, featured on the iconic cover of the Doors' 1970 album of the same name, suffered significant damages after a fire tore through the downtown Los Angeles building. No one was injured in the blaze, but the fire caused the roof to collapse. According to the L.A. Fire Department, there were some homeless people living in the mostly vacant building. Morrison Hotel, the band's fifth studio album, featured the hit songs Peace Frog, Waiting for the Sun, and Roadhouse Blues. Megadeth have begun work on album number 17. Singer and guitarist Dave Mustaine says on X, formerly Twitter, that he hopes his bandmates will join him in the studio shortly after the new year. And Public Enemy's Flavor Flav, well known for his clock pendant, told Rolling Stone that he might request a built-in clock for his coffin when he passes. When asked about what should be written on his tombstone, he joked, "It's about time." That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Rob Nadelson raised a very good question there just before that last break. Wait, so a Montana Supreme Court justice is saying, well, this is an acceptable practice for some people, so we're going to now say that it should be an accepted practice for kids, chopping body parts off of kids, giving kids life-altering drugs. And who is this acceptable to, or who is this accepted by? Not by you, the people of Montana, clearly. Not even by most of the American people, according to massive polling numbers out there. Not according to the elected members of the Montana legislature, but some outfit out in Dundee, Illinois. I mean, for Pete's sake, Rob Nadelson, yeah, do you pick up where we left off?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the opinion of a group in Dundee, Illinois, or the opinion of any other professional organization is interesting, worthy of consideration. But it's not constitutional law, Aaron. And that's where I say that the court constantly confuses left-wing opinion with constitutional law. Another good example is in the climate change case, the Held case. The court assumes without any question that A, there is climate change, B, that it is man-made, and C, if it happens, it's going to be bad for Montana. All three of those are challenged by reputable authority, something the court doesn't even acknowledge. Again, they're taking left-wing dogma and inserting it into their constitutional decisions. And they're doing it in a way that deprives the people of Montana with the right to govern themselves. Deprives of the right to govern themselves, I should say.
Yeah, I had to kind of laugh, too, when you mentioned that this outfit is in Dundee, Illinois, because it reminded me of when Crocodile Dundee does the gender check in the movie Crocodile Dundee, for those of you remember that from back in the 1980s, I think it was. Now, let's go to before...
You know, Aaron.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Aaron, before we go further, I want to mention one other thing. The court also, in the transgender case, they start off with claiming that the term gender is different from the word sex, that the word sex is innate in people and that gender is just assigned by society or expectations. That's a fairly new definition. I mean, if you go back to dictionaries more than a few years old, you'll see that gender and sex just are synonyms. But again, the left has redefined the language, and the Supreme Court takes this redefined language and sticks it into the Constitution. This is particularly noticeable in Justice McKinnon's concurrence, in which he claims that the part of the Montana Constitution that it secures equal protection based on sex somehow secures equal protection based on transgender status. Again, the reasoning is all over the lot. And it shows, number one, that these people aren't all that competent, and number two, that they're serving some agenda that's got nothing to do with interpreting the Montana Constitution.
Well, and somebody pointed out, Justice McKinnon, I don't even think she's been in Montana for the required 60 days she's supposed to be in Montana in order to serve. I think she's basically moved to another state, one of the Carolinas. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, before we move on to the Held v. Montana case here, well, first off, we got a caller that wants to jump in on this particular ruling. But Rob, you basically predicted this. When we had you on the show talking about CI-128 before the elections, you basically predicted that, look, what the left is trying to do in Montana and what the Montana Supreme Court is going to try to do is they are going to try to force this transgender agenda. They're not going to wait for the legislature or the people of Montana to do something about it. They are going to try to force it through judicial fiat. And it sounds like your prediction ended up coming true faster than even you thought it would come true.
That's right. The prediction came true, but I never expected it would come true so fast.
Yeah, crazy. Well, let's sneak on a caller here. We've got Tim in Billings. Tim, did you have a quick question or comment? Because I think his remarks pertain to this particular case on SB 99. Tim, thanks for the call.
Good morning, gentlemen. Dr. Nadel, or Mr. Nadelson, thank you for being a voice of reason in an insane world. You know, top feathering politicians and judges used to be an acceptable practice. So can we bring that back? Because these people are completely out of line, they are out of touch, and they have no idea the hornet's nest that they're kicking with the Montana citizens, because they don't align with our values or our ideals at all. And the other thing I would say that praying in school used to also be acceptable. Can we bring that back?
All right. Well, Tim, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Rob, we eventually do want to talk more about judicial reform. I think that in particular is what people like Tim and Billings are talking about, is like, okay, how do we bring judicial reform about for elections, other accountability measures, et cetera? I know we plan on getting to that, but what would you say specifically in response to Tim and Billings?
Well, specifically in response to Tim and Billings, I would say that as a licensed attorney, I would never recommend tarring and feathering a judge. However, there are lots
figuratively speaking, of course, but yeah. But you would never want to do that literally, yes.
Even though Tim is accurate when he says it used to be an accepted practice during the American Revolution, for example, a number of Tory officials or British officials got tarred and feathered. That is not on my personal reform agenda.
Although, you know, now that I think about it further, think about the outrage reaction and the pearl clutching that is going on probably in Helena right now. Probably some of these Supreme Court justices listening in on the conversation. How dare you suggest that somebody tar and feather us? I mean, that sounds awful. I got to be honest. Being tarred and feathered sounds awful, but you people want to chop body parts off of kids, but, oh, tarring and feathering a grown-ass adult is a little over the line. I mean, let's put it in perspective, I guess.
Right. Not to mention, decisions such as the Held decision, the global warming decision, based partly on the fear of children that glaciers are melting, with total disregard for legitimate fear of perhaps unemployment, economic collapse, loss of freedom, if we give the government the power to regulate anything it wants to regulate under the guise of climate control. A lot of people, I've been around for a long time, I've been following politics for a long time, and the whole climate change agenda seems just a little bit too convenient for me. In other words, it seems to be the latest in a long series of causes that I've seen to justify increases in government power and centralized power to the extent possible. So I'm not a climatologist or a meteorologist. I'm not going to make a judgment as to whether climate change is occurring. I suspect it is. Whether it's man-made, I suspect it's not, but I don't know. However, I am a political observer as well as a constitutional scholar, and I recognize a campaign for more government power when I see it. And this sure looks like it.
Yeah, they want to inject the climate alarmist debate into every single government decision. And then separately, they're also the climate kids and their wealthy white liberal parents that are using them as human shields in this war on Montana energy. Also want to do that with every energy decision coming out of our Public Service Commission. But yeah, putting aside their ruling, their laughable ruling in this Held v. Montana climate kids lawsuit, It's embarrassing that they even allowed this case, that they're even wasting precious court time by entertaining the Held v. Montana lawsuit in the first place.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that every other court in the country had laughed the cookie cutter copy and paste climate lawsuit out of their courtrooms. But no, a liberal judge in Helena and the left wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court says, we'll take it. We'll do it.
Yeah. Aaron, this is an important legal point, and it sometimes gets discussed. People ask questions about it. The way courts traditionally distinguish legitimate judicial controversies from mere political posturing is through a doctrine called justiciability. And part of that doctrine is another one called standing. Traditionally, in order to maintain a lawsuit, you've got to demonstrate that you have standing. And among the requirements for standing is you have to show some unique injury applicable to you. For example, if you're being sued under an unconstitutional law, you have standing to challenge the law. These kids don't have standing by any traditional definition. Their white liberal parents are just political activists. But the Montana Supreme Court has repeatedly, while sometimes saying they follow the traditional standing rules, has repeatedly thrown them out of the window in order to admit these left-wing activist lawsuits so they can come down with another pronouncement. I documented this in my Frontier Institute study published earlier this year. Again and again and again, when left-wing plaintiffs want to make a political point and the Montana Supreme Court wants to make the point with them, they drop the standing requirements that apply to everybody else. And that's what happened in the Held case.
There is some good news to talk about, and so I know we want to get to that. The good news is you've, as yes. I understand it, you've been working with our state legislators on their judicial reform discussions and proposals, 27 different judicial reform proposals that this Senate Select Committee on the Judiciary is looking at and looking at moving forward in the upcoming 2025 legislative session. Rob Nadelson, want to talk with you about that, get your great insight on that front as well. The other good news is I do think the clock is ticking. I do think it tick-tock. Eventually, we will restore justice and fairness on our Montana Supreme Court. I think the washouts and the wimps that are on the Montana Supreme Court right now, I think eventually these 60s washouts will be kicked to the curb and we'll get common sense, fair justices that actually care about our constitutional rights on that court. I think the Montana Supreme Court and our courts in general are the lagging indicator of political change in Montana. We just saw 1 month ago where Montanans stand, and it is completely opposite of what the Montana Supreme Court is doing. All right, so hold that thought. We got a break here, and then Rob Nadelson, we're going to talk about the reforms, the good news, and more.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Political observer, former constitutional law professor at the University of Montana, now a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute. Rob, as another political observer here over the years, I remember when North Dakota, you were like, man, why does North Dakota have, you know, Byron Dorgan and Kent Conrad? They have two Democrat senators. You know, at least we had one Republican here in Montana. But then it was like, well, why does Montana still have Democrat senators? Well, we finally did away with it. We finally got rid of you-know-who, right? And so, people finally woke up. Look, the Democrat does not have the interest of North Dakota in mind. They don't have the interest of Montana in mind. And so the old school FDR Democrats realized, wow, that party is not the party that we remember. And so they finally got, moved away from the Democrat Party. I say that to say, do you concur that TikTok, the clock is ticking, that these courts are the lagging indicators of political change, so they're the last chips to fall. But do you believe that also that we will soon and when I say soon, it may be a few years still, but that we actually, that we will be able to take back our Supreme Court and restore justice and fairness. But it's going to take work. It's going to take active campaigning and fundraising and more.
I agree with that. And before I elaborate, let me just make one other point about the jurisdiction of the Montana Supreme Court, because it's important. When you interpret a constitution, you're supposed to look at how the ratifiers, the voters, looked at that constitution. And one thing you'll see in these decisions is no reference at all to what the voters understood about the constitution, what they were told before they voted in 1972. And the reason there's no reference is because people were told repeatedly that issues like this, like environmental issues, issues of health care and so forth, would be left to the legislature. The people adopted the Constitution on that basis. And you don't see that ever mentioned in Montana Supreme Court opinions. Yeah, the clock is ticking. It's been ticking too long and too slowly for my taste. But we are finally beginning to reach, I think, the noon hour here. One of the points you just made is that the people of North Dakota woke up and recognized that there were now important differences between Republicans and Democrats. That's one of the reasons why I think it's very important that we go to a system of partisan elections, party designation for candidates for judgeships in Montana. Partisan elections or party designations exist in many other states. North Carolina finally got fed up with its so-called nonpartisan system and moved to partisan elections. And the reason for that is so the voters have some idea of the philosophy of the candidates they're voting on. Not so-called nonpartisan elections don't take the politics out. They just hide the politics. So a few people in Helena know, and a few politically active folks know where the judges stand, but nobody else knows. So the legislature can adopt partisan elections. I hope they do that in this term, and I believe there is a bill that's going to be coming to the legislative floor to do that.
I would encourage people, if you're traveling for the holidays, I like to download podcasts when I travel, and obviously still listen to my favorite live content on the radio, but when you're traveling, you're on a long road trip and you get out of signal coverage area, you know, download the KJJR app for your phone, for example, if you're in the Flathead and want to listen in on their great content into this show, for example. But on our Montana Talks app, or you can find the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify, it was a couple weeks ago, I think, we had state senator, the incoming Senate Majority Leader, Tom McGilvery, on this program for our full 9 o'clock hour. And he, I think, very well articulated these, you know, various 27 different proposals that the Senate Select Committee on the Judiciary has come up with. And you will find him, even if you're somebody who's one of our Democrat listeners or one of our more liberal-leaning listeners, I think you will find that he communicated a very well-reasoned message. This isn't just partisan, you know, rah, 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 yeah, stick it to them type of conversations. I interviewed one of the, you know, apolitical, one of the nonpartisan members of that Senate Select Committee who's serving on that Senate Select Committee as just a normal everyday citizen. And he's like, hey, there's some reasonable things here. Like, maybe we could have a better process for, you know, holding judges accountable, right? You know, if there's a judge that isn't, you know, up to the task and isn't fulfilling their obligations as a district court judge, we need an apolitical way to be able to address that. And that's one of the proposals that's in here.
Yeah, you know, partisan election is not about Republicans sticking it to Democrats or Democrats sticking it to Republicans. It's about voter information. It's about giving voters information about
exactly
the candidates they need. Another bill which will come to the floor will be for a judicial evaluation system, a formal rating system, so people can see which judges are performing well, which judges are not performing well. It, again, will be nonpartisan, and I think that it's been crafted in a way that avoids some of the mistakes that have been made in other states, like Colorado with their systems. We've learned from their experience. It's giving the voters more information. Another one, and I'm not certain it's going to come to the floor, but I hope it does, is something that the Montana Supreme Court has struck down twice before but needs to be passed again, and that is electing Supreme Court justices by district. so that people in Billings know they're are more likely to know their candidates because those candidates are local, or people in Missoula are more likely to know their candidates because those candidates are local. I did research that completely rebuts the basis on which the Montana Supreme Court struck down the previous two bills. I mean, they did, obviously the court did no research, just made up their criticisms, but their criticisms have no merit. So I hope the bill will pass again, and I think that we'll have electing judges by district. These are ways of improving voter information. Then there are other ways of opening up the court for criticism. We have a situation now where lawyers are afraid to criticize the court publicly or afraid to criticize decisions publicly. They look at what happened to the attorney general when he criticized the court. And there are a number of things that can be done to open up the system, end the rule by which every licensed lawyer has to be a member of the Montana Bar Association, separate attorney discipline from the Montana Supreme Court, as with some other states, put it in a separate panel so the Montana Supreme Court can't threaten lawyers directly with attorney discipline. And I would like to see some way in which the law school could be severed from the Montana Supreme Court because there's too much pressure on the faculty not to criticize the court.
Oh, that's a great
job. It's a job of law professors. It's the job of law professors to criticize opinions, to point out defects, and to point out advantages. That's their job. But generally speaking, I hate to say this about my former colleagues, but generally speaking, they have not carried out that function as they should have in the state of Montana.
There's a couple things that you just said right there that I want to come back to, and especially you specifically address these in your recent article at the Independence at independenceinstitute.org, the lesson from Montana, stop judicial usurpation before it becomes too late, here as we chat with Rob Nadelson. Let's sneak in another quick phone call before we get to our next break. We've got Perry in Columbus on the phone lines. Perry, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Aaron, and thank you so much, Mr. Nadelson, for spending your time with us this morning. It's so important that we reel in these robed gods. They're operating way off the reservation. So my question to you is, you know, it's been said that the judicial part of our government issues opinions, not force of law, and that's left up to the legislature and the executive branch. So is there a piece of that that can be used to help bring these people to heel before they destroy our state?
Great question, and we've got about 1 minute before the next break. Rob Nadelson, your thoughts?
They not only issued opinions, they also issue decrees or judgments, and the decrees or judgments do have the force of law. The opinion is merely a justification for the decree or judgment. So it's not that they merely offer issue opinions. It's that their judgments have binding effect.
Yeah, and I think partly where Perry is going here, of course, is, you know, the question a lot of Montanans are asking, which is how does the legislature come January 2025 step up and say, we're going to rein this in? I mean, I know Representative-elect Lucas Schubert is talking about cutting their $20 million budget up. Other people are saying, hey, you want to be a legislator? We'll pay you like a legislator, which is not much at all. And so that's a couple of things. So how do you rein this in? And then I want to go back to this absurd phony complaint against our great Attorney General Austin Knutson as well. So stand by. Man, just a quick few minutes left here with Rob Nadelson.
We'll be back with the best of Montana Talks right after these messages.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
As a Chinese foreign ministry spokesman put it, scientific cooperation between China and the U.S. benefits both sides. Blah, blah, blah. They're happy. They got Joe to do what they wanted. And, of course, then we had three Chinese nationals that, you know, he commuted their sentences to. Why is Joe being so nice to the communist Chinese on the way out? Could it be the money that they got from CEFC? It's just like Burisma. This was China's energy conglomerate. And they're paying millions of dollars to the Bidens, and Hunter's leading the company, and he has no experience in energy, oil, gas, has no experience in Ukraine, and no experience in China. Why was he being paid millions? And he's addicted to drugs at the time.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com, paid for by Goldco.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are at least three issues ahead for healthcare in Montana. The first is cost growth overall. After an interruption during COVID, when we all stopped going to see the doctor, the familiar pattern of healthcare prices going up faster than everything else has reemerged. That will affect everything from insurance premiums to government budgets. Then there's the renewal of the federally funded expansion of Medicaid to adults earning up to 138% of the poverty line, which expires this year. Opinions are strong on this issue, but let me share with you two relevant pieces of information. Montana has already shed 12% of its Medicaid enrollees since 2020, the most of any state in the country. The second is that Medicaid reimbursements to providers, meager as they may be, help keep rural health care viable. It's been estimated that half of rural hospitals lost money in 2024 nationally. Perhaps Medicaid expansion isn't the best way to address this, but do we want to make it worse? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you 406-201-6263, 406-201-6263. That's QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I couldn't resist. I couldn't help but bring up Crocodile Dundee, that movie from the 80s. And then I get an email from Kelly Seifert with the buzz up in Glasgow, Montana. Oh, that's a guy. That's a guy. That's a man dressed up like a Sheila. It was the email that Kelly Seifert sent my way. All right, now, of course, I can't resist this one either. I got to go to the scene where he does the, well, let's just say Crocodile Dundee does the gender check.
Wait a minute.
It's okay, he's Australian.
Yeah, it's okay, he's Australian. All right. Man, might have to watch that show during the Christmas break here. Let's go back to Rob Nadelson here. Rob, let's see, since we're getting so short on time, Jeff in Kalispell called in also asking about the possibility of ignoring Supreme Court decisions. Yeah, pretty similar to what Perry in Columbus asked, but how can the Montana legislature and state government figure out a way to ignore or implement in another fashion some of these absurd decisions coming out of the Montana Supreme Court?
Well, first, relating to gender check, anybody who's been to a single bar has performed a gender check, right? we talked about several types of reform legislation. Another one that's potentially pending is to take some of the cases that the existing courts have not handled well and put them into specialized courts, competent courts, that will handle the business cases, constitutional cases, land use and environmental cases. That's a very important bill, which is going to be hitting the legislature. Removing the Montana Supreme Court's original jurisdiction, that means their trial jurisdiction. The Montana Supreme Court has repeatedly abused its right to hear cases at the trial level. That can be stripped back by statute, and there'll be a bill introduced to that effect. And then finally, many people ask, well, why can't we just impeach the guys, impeach them? One reason for that is that the impeachment statute in Montana needs reform, and I think there will be reform of the impeachment statute as well. So these are These are all hopeful signs, but it's important, again, that people who are in favor of these measures let the legislature know about it. And the best way to let the legislature know about it is to find out who your own senator and representative are and write them handwritten notes. Phone calls help, emails help, but the most persuasive method of communication is probably the handwritten note. You know, I'm in favor of this reform bill. We've got to do something about the Montana Supreme Court.
And showing up to testify, which can be a challenge for our listeners because we have day jobs and families and everything like that. Yeah, only about a minute or so to go here. I would encourage everybody to check out Rob's piece at independenceinstitute.org. Rob, you use the word oligarchical control when you talk about the Montana Supreme Court. What do you mean by oligarchical, or what else do you want to share with our listeners before we run out of time?
Just as democracy means rule by the people, oligarchy means rule by the few. It refers to a situation where a small council actually governs a state or a country. And what I was trying to communicate is, to a great extent, Montana no longer has a Democratic Republican form of government because so much policy is now controlled by the Supreme Court oligarchy and by the special interest groups that support that oligarchy. If you're interested in reading more about my stuff, just go to independenceinstitute.org and click on the Constitution tab. Independence Institute, all one word, .org, and click on the Constitution tab. And it's been great being with you.
It was such an honor to have you, Rob Nadelson, as always. And thank you so much for your time. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to you and yours and all of our listeners. All right. Coming up, we got a big 9 o'clock hour. Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, Senator Steve Daines. But first, State Senator Carl Glimm talking property tax.
We'd like to thank all of our listeners for their support and a great 2024. Wishing you nothing but health, wealth, and endless blessing in the new year ahead. You're listening to Montana Talks.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is, like, busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.